Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, babe. It's what you need, babe. We got to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letters spill slowly across the page like a world premiere. Where lies, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, eh? My people's in a place, let's count it on, 1, 2,
tell me what
y'all to do, 3, 4,
it's time for all of your suggestions, rock and rolls in your rolling rock, in your rock to the rhythm and just don't stop, 5, 6, get up inside the mix, 7, 8, no time to hesitate, so let's rock and roll in your rolling.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and try to relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count 1, 2,
tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your suggestions. Rock and roll in your rolling rock. Then your rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your rolling.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on the tablet, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, I thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space, ventilate, was solid as a rock, shall not disintegrate, thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate, real, yeah, yeah. Yeah, my people's in a place, tell me how to solve. Here we go, yeah.
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your suggestions. Rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. Yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just sing it out. 1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your.
Hi, I'm Saida Garrett, and you're listening to my girl Tracy L. Bell and Conversations of a Sister on Blog Talk Radio Show. And remember, ghetto is a state of mind. Peace.
Good Wednesday evening, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Miss Tracy L. Bell, and I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone, for tonight's conversation. And tonight's conversation is the destructive power of hate. The destructive power of hate. Hate is dislike, animosity, detestation, when you detest someone, loathing and disgust. That is the bottom line of hate. There are more words added because bitterness gives birth to it all. So I thank you for joining me tonight for tonight's conversation, The Destructive Power of Hate. Hate is very powerful, and it is powerful because it can give birth to so many things. It produces energy for destructive behavior. And what actually ignites hatred is driven by intense hostility, fear, anger, or a sense of injury that one may feel. When you're confronted by this kind of extreme dislike, you basically have two choices. When you're confronted with hate, you basically have two choices. And these two choices have a lot to do with how you respond. You can either sink to the hater's level and address them with that same energy, or you can recognize this behavior as a character flaw and not respond at all. So again, for those of you who may be just tuning in, we're talking tonight the destructive power of hate. The destructive power of hate. Hatred is a way to shut down the mind to a degree. It's a way to shut down the mind. And you do it in order to handle overwhelming stress or trauma. Hatred is therefore a hardening of the mind and spirit in a direction of revulsion. Meaning, because you hate someone or you hate something, you are just determined to dislike it. So therefore, your mind is not open to whatever degree it may be concerning that particular thing or person that you hate. The saying goes, it's a thin line between love and hate. In one sense, the opposite of hatred is not love. So that's kind of not true. The opposite of hatred is not love. Hatred is mental and emotional detachment. Hatred attaches you to the thing or the person you hate. And this is a very important principle of hatred that I need you, my listeners, to understand. Hatred is emotional detachment, but it attaches you to the thing or the person that you hate. It attaches you to the thing or the person that you hate. Because hatred is so strong of an aversion, it creates a rebound effect in the person, in some sense that it attracts the person back to the thing or the item hated in order to be adverse to it, in order to be hostile to it. And you want to be hostile to it over and over and over again. In this sense, it's like resentment. You resent the thing that you hate. So what you're doing is you're feeling it again and again and again because you hate it. So because you hate it, you've attached yourself to it. This is why sometimes hate can become a fear. Like sometimes we hate what we fear. And that's why, you know, the saying goes and people always say, face your fears. Because once you face a fear, then you'll no longer hate it. Because fear is actually false evidence appearing real. So in a sense, when hatred is a fear and you face that fear, you get rid of that hate. But when hatred is directed toward a person or a thing, that's not necessarily good. You should never give a person or a thing that much energy. Because if you're taking time to hate it, what you're doing is you're directing energy to it. You're directing energy toward it. And what that does is it keeps the hate alive. Hatred is so strong of an aversion, as I said, it creates a rebound effect. That's why you should never give a person or a thing that much energy. I can't stress that enough. When you hate something or someone, I think it's important to work it out. I think it's important to work that thing out. Sometimes we try not to think about it or think about them or to think about the person or even be reminded of it or the person. But eventually, you should work it out. And the reason why you should work it out is so that it doesn't fester. It is very important to be healthy, both emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally. This is why it is better to work out any issue before it festers, because hatred can become a really big burden. A really big burden. And when you have the ego in hatred, it's like hatred loves resentment, because it tastes like candy in the mouth. There's a sweetness about it because it builds up the ego and it makes you feel superior to the thing or the person that you hate. After all, you would never do that, or you would never be like that which you hate. So you therefore become superior to it. This is the way the ego puffs itself up with hatred. And it does the same with resentment. For those who may be just tuning into the conversation is the destructive power of hate. The destructive power of hate. The only difference between resentment and hate is resentment is more of a feeling inside, as in anger. Like sometimes, you know, anger will come out when you resent someone. Whereas hatred is more of a mental attitude rather than an emotional feeling. Hatred is more mental than emotional. I think that when hatred is tied to the emotions, love is at the base of that. Not that it's a thin line between it, but just because there's a passion behind it. So I just want you to understand that indeed hatred is devoid of feeling. It is a silent undercurrent, often hostile, depressed of self, that one carries around all the time, no matter what. They always carry it around. It's in their aura to just be hateful, because this is the nature of hatred. And all hatred is mental illness. Why? Because it has very bad consequences. Hatred is a form of neurosis, fixation, reversal in judgment. All of these words describe a type of mental illness that is always harmful to oneself and for others. If persisted, meaning if you keep living in it, it always leads to war. It always leads to war. When you're hateful, you're miserable. So you're always willing to start a war. You're always willing to start a fight, even if they're fights within, because this is what hatred does. It always leads to war with others, and then it ultimately leads to disease in the body. This is why it has a destructive power, because it leads to disease in the body. You know, unforgiveness is the single most popular poison that the enemy uses against people, and it is one of the deadliest poisons a person can take spiritually, because it's in the spirit. So that's when it becomes deadly, because it causes everything from mental depression to health problems such as cancer and arthritis. Now, I'm not saying that in every single case of cancer it is due to unforgiveness, but I am saying that it can cause cancer. Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. Did y'all know that? Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. And this is all according to Dr. Stephen Staniford, chief of surgery at the Cancer Center Treatment of America. He said refusing to forgive makes people sick. It makes them sick. And it keeps you that way. Harboring negative emotions such as anger and hate can create a state of chronic anxiety. Whether it's a simple spat with your spouse or a long-held resentment toward a family member or friend, any unresolved conflict can go deeper, and it goes deeper than you may realize, and it can be affecting your physical health. There is an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed. It's enormous because you're hurt and disappointed. So chronic anger puts you into fight mode because you want to fight. And it results in numerous changes in your heart rate, in your blood pressure, and in your immune response. This is why you give it energy, because those are the things that it affects. It brings your heart rate up. It raises your blood pressure. And it changes your immune response. That's why some people say when they get scared or when they fear something, the first thing they have to do is go to the bathroom. That's the first thing they have to do, because it attacks the immune in its response, and it makes you have to go to the bathroom. And those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. And this is just amongst other conditions. Most people don't realize what a burden anger and hatred really are until they actually let them go. Because when you let them go, it feels like the weight of the world has been taken off your shoulder. And you should let them go. And when you let them go, you should forgive. And when you forgive, you should forgive deeply, not for the other person, but for yourself. Simply forgiving someone because you think you have no other alternative or because you think your religion requires it, it may be enough to bring some healing. But one study found that people whose forgiveness came in part from understanding that no one is perfect were able to resume a normal relationship with other people. And you have to do this even if the other person ever apologizes. I'm not saying you let the person back in your life, but if they never apologize, you got to move on. And you have to do what's best for you, for your mental stability and healing. Those who only forgave in an effort to salvage the relationship wound up with a worse relationship. That's why you never back anyone into the corner or into a corner for an apology. You don't do that. You're supposed to be too good for that. Too established and well-grounded in your self-worth. That's why you just don't do it. So what you do is you let go of expectations. An apology may not change your relationship with the other person, especially if the other person killed the relationship. But if you don't expect it, you won't be disappointed. But no matter what, listeners, my listeners, I want you to decide to forgive. I want you to choose forgiveness. Once you make that choice, you seal it with an action. Even if you don't feel you can talk to the person who wronged you, write about your forgiveness in a journal or even talk about it to someone else in your life. But make sure it's someone you trust. That's why I write books between you and I. That's why I write books. I write it out. That's how I work it out. That's how God deals with me in my gift. And that's how I forgive myself. The act of forgiving includes forgiving yourself. But now, I know some of you said, for instance, if my spouse had an affair, you know, what do I do? How do I forgive that? I don't know how you forgive it because I've never been in that situation. But I would say that you would recognize that affair and understand that it's not a reflection of your worth, or it's not a reflection of something you've done wrong, and then you move on, whether you stay in the relationship or whether you leave. I mean, it's your choice to make. A girlfriend of mine, she never had a good relationship with her mother. And I was talking to my mother about this earlier today. She never had a good relationship with her mother. She said her mother has hated her for as long as she can remember. Well, when she first shared this with me, I thought they were just passing words or a thought of hers. Until recently I discovered that her mother's hatred for her is real. Her mother really hates her. And that her mom has been angry and bitter for like years, for as long as she's known her. And that her mother has gone through 4 marriages because she was just determined to make life miserable for anyone who ever came in contact with her. And whenever my girlfriend talked about her, there was this darkness that overshadowed the conversation just from her talking about her. Like, I could just feel this darkness. So anyway, this girlfriend of mine shared with me recently that her mom was terminally ill. And I looked at her and I said to her, you know, it's the hatred that she's carried all of these years that's killing her, right? I said, you know, it's the hatred. The hatred is what's killing your mom. And my girlfriend just looked at me in awe. But I'm telling you people, it's true. Hatred is one of the greatest human tragedies that one can carry. And it's because the underlying truth is always hurt. Hurt feelings are incredibly powerful motivators. And instead of efforts to move past or heal from hatred, many people just continue to hold on to negative feelings year after year, month after month, time after time. They just hold on to it. And it's sad if life ends and that's the way it is. The damage people inflict with their wounding results in a great curse upon humanity, from friendships falling apart to cities dividing along real and imaginary lines. The effects of hatred are all around us. Even wars are the result of this seed of hatred spreading and multiplying. Tension and cruelty places harmony and goodwill. Hatred is heavy. Hatred is dark and relentless, and it's a cloud that hangs over individuals, it hangs over families, communities, and nations, and that's sad. And not only is it sad, but that's deep. So how are such things healed? How are they healed? No matter what, and no matter how many people with heartfelt sincerity request healing, it seems that once the collapse into hatred occurs, the hater will not let it go. Haters practically insist that you stay and be a target for their hostility. But I'm saying don't be. I'm saying hatred has the power to destroy you. So my thing, my words to you tonight, is to resolve the conflict and grow. Because guess what? You grow for a better you. And that time is now. And when you decide to drop the hate and to grow for a better you, you can trust that harmony will then prevail. I thank you, as always, for tuning in tonight. You can visit my website at www.readywriterproductioncompany.com. We celebrate our anniversary in 2 weeks, and we're raffling off our anniversary basket that is filled with lots of my books, my favorite things, and my apparel. You can also follow us on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister. Or join the conversation that's always happening on my blog at conversationsofasista.com. Until next week, choose love, stay well, be well, and peace.